Welcome back to the Football Sack Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Quigley. With me, as always, is Christian Leyland.
Hello, everybody.
We're going to talk all things Socceroos, both coach and on the field. We're going to talk A-League. English Premier League kicks off this weekend. We're going to talk a bit about that. It's going to be the usual.
Amazing.
Get excited. We are back. It's Thursday. Which means that this is sort of our... Normally, Thursday will be our preview show, as opposed to our review show on a Monday. But we had a game last night to talk about and some Socceroos news, because the coach is Holger.
Yeah. Yeah. It is the coach, Holger.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. See, I made that pun, is the coach Holger.
About, what, 15 minutes after he was announced?
Yeah.
And apparently you still weren't the first.
Apparently I wasn't the first, which
devastated.
Is frustrating. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For those of you who've... not heard yet. The Socceroos have named their new coach. It's Holger Osiak. Not the big name, I guess, that many would have expected. And I'll admit that when I first heard, I was quite underwhelmed. Your reactions?
Yeah. Well, I texted Jack. I went, who?
Yeah.
But upon some research, I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, first reactions are underwhelming, but. You know, hey, let's give it a crack. It's something new. It's great to have a German in charge because I wrote an article for the site a while ago saying, why are we basing ourselves on the Dutch? Because they've never won anything. You know, if anything, we should be basing ourselves on the Germans.
Again, the football sack, right.
Yeah.
Right on the money.
And I'm really glad to see that we have because, you know, we just weren't going anywhere with this Dutch system. We'd figured out a way to get through Asian qualifying very easily, but not step up against bigger teams. And that was so frustrating last night about the game, which we'll come to in a bit. But, you know, Hamburger taking the reins and, you know, a friendly... First of all, why was there an international window now? It's just
it's
so
silliness.
Pointless.
Yeah.
But he took the reins for a friendly... No one really wanted to play. Why didn't we try something different? Why did we go out there with the same old 4-2-3-1 that turns out to just be 4-5, you know, and
one.
Yeah, and nobody up front, really. And sat back and, you know, if Slovenia could finish, it would have been 4-5-0.
Then again, if we could finish, it could have been 5-3.
Yeah, good point. That's a very good point as well. It was just so frustrating. Why not try something? Why not go 3-4-3 just to see how we play? Maybe that's our system. If you don't try these things, it'll never come off.
Could possibly have been something, because he did bring some newish players into the game, like Gite, people we haven't seen for a while.
Yes.
Maybe he just said, like, this is the way we've been, to show the new coach.
Yeah.
This is the way we've been playing, this is the players, here we are, this is what we do, now it's up to you.
I was quite thankful that the coach, that Holger was there to watch this one, because hopefully it means that we won't see much more of Richard Garcia and Mile Jedinak anymore.
Yes, Garcia.
Those guys were awful. Garcia, again, had one of those games where in the 80th minute he got a touch and you went, oh, Garcia's playing. It just seems like
every time he plays,
that's the kind of game he has.
He did have one half-decent game in the World Cup, though a half-decent game in out of three is not something you really want.
Yeah, that's right. So. Well, it's a half-decent game out of every game he's ever played for Australia, so he's not doing too well. There was a lot of things to come out of the game. Rukavica was played in a position that totally didn't let him use his pace, which is his asset. Wasn't played up front, was played out wide and never given the ball. I really want to raise the question as to why Mile Jedinak was in that team. Now, we've gone with two holding midfielders, as we sort of always did in the Dutch system. If you're going to play two holding midfielders, what you're basically saying is, look, we're not going to create much, but we're going to shut them down. They're not going to create much. We're going to sit in front of the back four, close down their attacks. Robert Koren was just running the show from midfield for Slovenia, making late runs in the box. He was having pot shots all night. If he had his shooting boots on, it could have been a really, you know, it could have been a cricket score. You know, it just begs the question, if he's not doing his job defensively and he's a poor passer of the ball, why is Mile Jedinak in that side?
Well, it is a good question, isn't it?
I scratch my head. I can't figure out why on earth, what is he doing there? What is his purpose? Because he is a dreadful passer of the ball, does not create anything, only really does the easy cleaning up around the back that someone like Carl Valeri could do anyway. You don't need two guys there getting in each other's way.
So what you're saying is he's a Nigel de Jong who can't tackle.
Yes, yeah. That's basically what he is, yeah. Well summarised. There was sort of, I was watching it and little things started to annoy me. Vidicic being caught offside again and again while standing out on the touchline, looking across the line. If you're looking across the line continually being, that says dumb to me.
Dumb or laziness.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of a combination of the two. There was some good notes. Schwarzer played well for his half. Federici played well for his half, was not at fault for either of the goals, yes, I didn't think. Lucas Neal was great at centre-back, as he sort of tends to do. Brett Holman was good as well, and Luke Wilshere put himself about. But like I said, hopefully, and there was the other thing that screamed at me throughout the game was about 20 minutes in the second half. I think it was Jay North on the ball, who he had a bad game too, stood there, looked up on about the halfway line for someone to pass to, and every gold shirt was still. There was not one person. They were all just looking at him like, okay,
what are you going to do, Jade?
Yeah, it's your go.
Yeah, go on. Have a go. Which annoys me because, you know, when you don't have the ball, you should be working harder than when you do have the ball.
That's right.
When you're off the ball. It's,
It's just, yeah, extremely frustrating. But like I said, hopefully Holger saw that game and there's half a dozen faces there we won't ever see again.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It was a friendly, so like, yeah, a little bit frustrating, but it's a transition now. We've got a new coach, so we can kind of put that one in the bag.
Yeah.
So it happened. All right, let's look forward to a new regime under this coach. Who should we discuss?
Well, obviously, I think Nathan Burns.
Oh, okay.
He's just so good. He really, you know, he showed us for Ajax Athens in Sydney last week, and it was just brought on with 20 minutes to go in a game where by that stage the rest of his teammates didn't care, and still looked okay. Jitahi was abysmal. Does that sum him up?
Yeah, he's pretty rusty.
Yeah.
His defense, the season hasn't started there yet, has it?
He had the first touch of a brick wall for like the first 30 minutes.
He can trap the ball further than I can kick it.
Yeah, so. That's right, yeah. In fact, if he was a brick wall, you'd think that he'd be good because he'd be a surefire 1-2, but he's not. And then, of course, his fantastic miss.
Oh, what a finish.
Yeah, yeah. He just obviously didn't realise how much time he had.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, the player was 2 or 3 metres behind him. He didn't realise. He had to rush it, and it came up on him quickly.
Yeah.
So like, I can see myself missing that one in that situation.
Yeah, you know, but that's the thing. That's you. You're not an international striker. Right. We should be expecting him to put that away. And of course, the marking for the second goal was awful. On the penalty spot, unmarked, have all the time in the world, pick your spot, and he did. And then for the third goal...
of course, you mean first and second, not second and third.
Oh, is that what I said? Yes. Sorry, apologies. It just felt like one of those games.
German game all over again.
Yeah, and then for the second goal, by which I mean the third goal, by which I mean the second goal, he just the run and run and run from midfield and the shot. You know, obviously, it was sort of an error from Lucas Neal, failing to clear his lines. But where are these two holding midfielders who are supposed to be sweeping up back there? You know, they were up on halfway having a breather. So that's enough about the game. We kind of glossed over Holger. We'll go back and talk about Holger now. So hopefully Holger has seen the first and the last of the likes of Jedinak and co. His CV is very good.
It's really good. The first thing that pops up, as in impressiveness, is he was with the German
1990 Italia 90 World Cup winners.
Yeah, they won. He was assistant coach
to Franz Beckenbauer. Yeah.
And then there's a strange one where you go, all right, he was assistant coach for Canada for quite a number of years, 4 or 5 years, and you go, okay, that's not that impressive.
Yeah.
Until you look at his results,
and then you see that he won the CONCACAF Gold Cup whilst managing Canada, which is unbelievable.
It's crazy. That's the the Central and North American version of the Asian Cup, or the Euros.
Yeah,
with Canada.
With Canada.
That's ridiculous.
Beating, sort of got through for some reason South Korea in that group.
There's always an outside team invited to play the CONCACAF.
Oh, is it righto?
Yes. It's been Brazil and Nigeria and all these other teams.
Oh, righto. There was.
They got past Costa Rica.
Yes, Costa Rica.
And South Korea in the groups.
South Korea, yeah.
They beat Mexico in the quarters.
Yeah, Trinidad and Tobago in the semis and Colombia in the final.
I'll tell you what, if that's not an impressive run from a team who apparently can't play football, I don't know what it is.
Canada's best ever footballer is Owen Hargreaves, and he plays for England. So that sort of goes to show.
So you see that result, and you go, well, you know, he must be doing something.
He's doing
right.
Okay. He's obviously AFC Champions League winner.
Yes, with Urawa Red Diamonds.
Yes, that's right. So he knows the region well, which is good for us.
And he's also had stints at Fenerbahce.
Yes, Fenerbahce, Bochum, VFL Bochum as well.
He won the Turkish League Cup, was it?
Turkish Cup winner. Yeah. So that was whilst he was managing Kocsilyaspor, I think it's pronounced. Apologies for any of our Turkish listeners.
Yes, all of them out there.
Yeah.
And then another impressive thing on his CV was his director of the FIFA Technical Committee.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is pretty huge.
Yeah. So hopefully.
I'm not going to lie, he ticks all the boxes.
I'm quite excited. Let's go. Yeah. Let's give it a run. See where it takes us.
And I can't wait to play like Germany.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, until we start thumping England 4-1.
The one thing I did when I listened to the press conference, one thing he said, I don't have a magic formation. I come, I look at my players, and I build my formation around what players I have.
That's what I want to hear. Yes, we didn't have the players to play 4-2-3-1.
No,
it just becomes 4-5, and one guy miles away from the rest of the crew. So that's great. So hopefully, looking forward. And the great thing about hearing that is he might actually say, hang on, I've got a guy in Scott McDonald who, when partnered next to a big striker, scores goals for fun. Maybe I'll try that for the national team rather than playing him up front on his own. Although he played on the right for Middlesbrough the last couple of games over there, and he's got 2 goals in 2 games.
So. Yes, I think it'll be a fresh start for everybody involved.
Yeah.
It'll just be...
Which is great.
Yes, I just can't wait to see what formations he does put out there, because I'm sure he'll try quite a few.
I would imagine so.
And I'm sure if any regular watches the Socceroos, we'll soon see a whole mix of most Australians out in Europe, or most decent Australians out in Europe, come and have a go. It's really good.
We'll find out on the 23rd of... September, is it?
I'm going to say yes.
Is that
yes.
The Swiss friendly?
I actually don't.
I think it's sometime, cool. Something like that.
Just a word of warning to Frank Lowry. If you're ever on a press conference, probably just get someone else to do it.
Yeah, he kind of was just sort of sitting there and waiting for the translator. And yeah, it was very slow because it was done via satellite, wasn't it?
Satellite,
yeah. But yeah, Frank, you probably just could have passed that one off to the media guy to take care of.
I just love the bit that he started talking, and he's like, okay, I'm going to stop talking now because I can hear myself back in my microphone. I don't like hearing myself back in my microphone, just to let you know. So I'm going to stop talking until it goes away.
And I probably need to stop talking first, Frank.
He stopped talking and he started talking. Again.
Silence will probably do that. Yeah. So yeah, we're excited. Welcome aboard, Holger, and we hope to see some. Something different from the Socceroos.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I think that we've got the same or a similar kind of attitude to Germans in terms of our attitude to winning games. I don't think Germans like to sit there and be dominated.
No.
So it bodes well.
We might lean more towards the passionate side rather than human machine side, but we'll...
we are not robots. It's always kind of scary at the end of the game against Germany when you see the players swapping shirts and they all have wires hanging out. apparently, Thomas Hitzlsperger got injured last night. He copped a bad challenge and sparks started coming out of his leg. Okay. That was always a dead giveaway.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I will just mention that West Ham's injury curse has continued. We did sign Thomas Hitzlsperger over the summer. He got recalled to the German national squad last night for their friendly, handed the captain's armband, and managed to get injured. So that's great.
There you go. Just a quick touch on England, of course, also winning 2-0 against Hungary.
2-1.
Oh, 2-1, sorry,
and,
yes.
And for all this goal line technology at the World Cup,
yes.
They had a goal cross the line not given, and last night they had Hungary's goal didn't cross the line and was given. So poor old England can't take a trick.
Yeah. There was Sepp Blatter did say he's going to look into it in the next FIFA meeting, though.
He won't, though. But England did come back from that to win 2-1. Two fantastic Steven Gerrard goals. Mm-hmm. He was very good.
Adam Johnson missed half a sitter.
He had a great effort in that second half, get tipped over the bar, first time effort from way out. Bobby Zamora, also I'll give a quick mention to, made his debut for England last night and was really good. Played the second half, had three chances, three good saves from Kirali, the goalkeeper who always insists on playing in tracky dacks. I always like that.
That's good.
So well done, England. Let's move on to the A-League. We'll have
Sounds
a quick preview
good.
Of the A-League.
Cool. Yeah. I think that's what we're here for.
Is that what we're here for?
Oh, apparently.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for clearing that up. We've got... is it a doubleheader on Friday? I think it is. Yes, it is. Because we start over the Dutch in Wellington. It's the Phoenix against Gold Coast United.
Oh, well... I always love this picture because it reminds me of Gold Coast United's absolute... when they got demolished 6-0 by the Phoenix last season.
Yes. Well, you know... it would remind you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no, it's good. I always just have that hope that it'll happen again. So it's
really.
Yeah.
Do you not like the Gold Coast?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. It's always good just seeing the tall poppy syndrome. You know?
Yeah.
Seeing the people who are all high and mighty just get knocked down a little bit.
Righto.
Yeah. No, it's good. I think Wellington should. Well, they obviously haven't played yet this season, but I think they'll have a good show.
I think hopefully they'll have done their homework.
Yes, should have a pretty good crowd, one would think.
Yeah, they will get a bounce back from that World Cup, you would hope.
Mm-hmm.
They had great crowds before the World Cup, mm-hmm. so let's get all those Phoenix fans out there. We do have a few listeners over the Dutch, don't we?
Over the Dutch?
I can't think of them off the top of my head.
Yes, bro.
So get out there to the Cake Tin and support them. I think that'll be a really good game, actually. I expect Wellington to win that.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
Well, Wellington are one of my top teams for this year, I think.
Yeah?
Can go really well.
Okay, brilliant.
So Jade North should be back from Socceroos duty by then and stuff. So it's.
Will he? I don't think so.
Ooh.
Playing this actually, morning. Actually, no, I don't
true.
Night.
Oh, it's Friday, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's the Monday show.
yeah, it's confusing, this two shows a week. We are working really hard.
That's it. See what we do for you, listeners.
That's
see
right.
See what we do for you.
Yeah. The second game is the Jets take on the Heart up in Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chance for both those teams to get a first win for the season.
Yes, it's going to be interesting because it's both teams who like to play a bit of a possession game. So it's...
The Heart, just a side note, sorry to interrupt.
Go for it.
The Heart topped the passing and completion percentage stats after the first round.
Yeah, no, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah. They, like I said on Monday, they just dominated possession. They just lacked that killer edge and that bit of patience.
Yeah.
So, and that'll come as the season comes. Like I said, they're a top three team for me.
Yep.
Jets always try to do a passing possession game. Whether they can do it, I'm not sure. It's just going to be interesting. One of those teams are going to have to take a step back and play more on the counter.
Yeah.
It's So it'll be intriguing, and I can't wait to watch.
You think traditionally that will be the away side?
You would think so, but. I'm not sure.
I think if the Heart sit back, I can't see the Jets breaking them down, to be honest. Yeah, I see the Heart winning that one, probably 1-0.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Saturday night, we kick off up north. North Queensland have their first home game of the season. Hopefully a decent gate after their great effort to secure a point at a sold-out Perth Glory. What's it called now?
NIB
Stadium last week. And they take on Sydney FC, so a big game for them, aren't they?
Yeah, well, huge game. It's their first home game of the season against the reigning champions, and they've got a record numbers of season tickets sold, so let's hope that there's a huge crowd to watch a very good match.
Yeah, I think this will be a really good match. We've seen the Fury capable of scoring goals, great goals, as we talked about on last time's show, and Sydney FC, I think, are the same. We've got two teams who've had three all draws in the first round taking on each other in round two.
Yes, it's insane that though, this may turn nil all.
Yeah, it's probably got nil all. It's written all over it.
But seriously, like Fury, to me, they play a pretty attacking brand of football.
Yeah, they do.
It's just they don't always have the talent to carry it, but they try to, and you got to give them that. And Sydney FC, we all know what they can do.
Yeah, Nick Carl, I think, will just get better and better as he goes
brilliant.
On. Yeah, he's great. We got a doubleheader Saturday as well, don't we?
Yes.
I think, what's our second game there? It's Melbourne Victory against Perth Glory. Another one to look forward to.
To be honest, most of these games this week are quite
good. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be the whole season, isn't it?
This is going to be Melbourne Victory's first competitive game in the new stadium.
Yes.
They played the Kevin Muscat testimonial there, I think, didn't they?
I'm not sure.
Maybe they did. If you're a Victory fan, I'm just going off the top of my head here, so maybe they did, maybe they didn't. If you're a Victory fan, write in and let us know. But yeah, they take on the Glory, and I'm looking forward to that one as well. We've got, again, two sides who had three old draws take on each other. So that'll be two nil-nils for the round then.
two nil-nils for the round, I like it.
Predictions for that one?
Oh, it's a hard one, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, it's so hard. I was going to say coming off the performance of last week, but both of them played rather well, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, yeah. I think... probably the Victory by 2-1.
Yeah, you'd have to lean towards Victory because they're going to have a pretty big crowd.
Yeah,
stadium.
It's going to be great there. What an atmosphere that's going to be.
As if they're going to pack it out for sure, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, unless some Fowler magic comes up and Stojoski can actually finish, then Victory should have it.
Yeah. Yeah, because if Stojoski starts putting finishes on, all plans go out the window. Nobody saw that coming.
Nobody saw that coming. Yeah. I was going to say, there was... lost it.
That was interesting.
Yeah. Would have been funny to watch.
You can't turn off for a minute on this podcast.
Yeah, no. No, what I was going to say was that, yeah, as long as Perth aren't ahead by one goal going to stoppage time, they should be all right.
Well, yeah. It tends to only be home games they do that, though, just to let their fans down.
Yeah, true, true. Yeah. Just let their fans down.
Yeah.
Nothing better than letting the old home fans.
You're also wearing a purple shirt today.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, thank you.
Is that, that's quite a nice shirt.
I'm not sure if you're being sarcastic or not.
Yeah, no, I like that shirt.
Thank you.
I just read the front of it. It's quite funny.
Oh, would you like to announce it or not particularly?
It just says Friends with Benefits and has a picture of a couple of people cuddling.
Yeah, no, it's good and I like it.
No, it's nice. And our final game of the round is the Santa Cruz Mariners. They get their first home game of the season and they take on Adelaide United.
Santa Cruz should have it. Hopefully Patricio Perez will be back and he'll just he'll do the Nicky Carl job for them.
I think that's got home banker written all over it.
I think so. I think Adelaide will eventually come good, but it's going to take them half a season.
Yes,
by then,
right.
It'll be too late.
It'll be too late, yeah. This just isn't going to be their year, I don't think.
No.
Brisbane Roar have the draw.
They do, the bye.
The bye.
The
bye, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
The bye, which is worth no points. So.
Yes. Nor should it be.
Nor should it be.
You shouldn't get points for doing it. What the NRL used to give you 2 points for a bye,
they still
didn't
do.
It?
It's so strange. I'm like, everybody has the exact same number of buys. So there's no need to give them points for it.
Yeah, that's just silly.
I think it's maybe to get the teams down the bottom, because there's been times where there's a team has been on 2 points after 11 games, but that's been from the bye.
Yeah,
just give that a little bit of a boost.
Haven't beat anyone. Yeah, that's right. Oh, the bye has a shocker. Loses every week.
Loses every week.
Right, yeah, in your tipping comps, always take the bye.
Mm-hmm. Well, random story. I used to do online tipping.
Yeah.
With on NRL.
Yeah.
This is going back a few years.
Yeah.
But these twice a year there used to be a round where there'll be 3 buys in one round, and you get a win for the bye in the tipping comp. But in every year you get a joker round where you could pick any round of the year and you get double your points. So you just pick that round because you got automatic 6 points. Anyway, so a bit of a random anecdote.
That is extremely random anecdote. Yeah.
Anyway, just like that. Anyone who hasn't joined our fantasy comp should actually.
Yeah,
go to
that's
that
a good point. How do they do that?
Well, it's on Fox Sports. Hit us up on Twitter and we'll let you know our code.
Yeah. So at the Football Sack, if you follow us on Twitter or if you don't follow us on Twitter. info@thefootballsack.com is our email address if you need to get in contact with us. And we also have a Facebook group.
We do. And do you want to talk about the Facebook group?
Yeah,
again?
Might as well, yeah.
The Facebook group, we've just started a new thing on our Facebook group, which is a Facebook group of the week.
Yes.
So it's in discussions or the forum on the Facebook. You can go there and have a look. You can put your own groups in there if you want. Currently at the moment, the Facebook group of the week is I'm Great at Clearances, LOL Joke, I'm Kevin Musket.
Yes, which plays on his inability to clear the ball last week against the FC, which cost the goal.
So we should be having a new group up there every week, so just check it out if you're bored. I mean, why else would you be on Facebook?
That's right.
Unless you're studying.
Yeah, that's right, unless you're at university and you're totally just procrastinating about doing an assignment. We've all been there.
We have. We're all there at the moment.
Yes. Right, is that the A-League done and dusted?
That's the A-League. Oh, just a quick note. Anyone with Bridge in their fantasy team and they're in our
league,
take
him out.
Keep him there.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's right. That's his way of saying he's not playing.
He's not playing this week, yeah. I need a boost because I went horrible last week.
So. I did hear, I heard on
I had
Wellington
Phoenix players in my team, yet they had the bye, so I'm like, well, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's just you dropping the ball with that one.
That is.
Yeah, that's nobody's fault but your own, I'm afraid. We'll move on. We'll go abroad because I know I'm very excited, and I know you are too. The English Premier League kicks off on Saturday night, and not a bad game to get us started.
Oh, I'm very, very much looking forward
Spurs
to it.
Spurs Man City.
Oh, loving it.
Yes, there's some huge games that first round.
Oh,
which,
there
of
is.
Course, we've got Super Sunday. We've got Liverpool hosting Arsenal as well. So top four contenders going head-to-head. So that's fantastic. Of course, the big match of the round will be Aston Villa hosting West Ham.
Of course, yeah, undoubtedly match of the round.
That's right, that one.
Yeah, the Clarets and Blue against each other.
Yeah,
off.
That's right, yeah. So we can't wait. Let's quickly talk a little bit about Martin O'Neill. For those who haven't heard, walked out of Aston Villa as their manager. It's a real shame he didn't do it about a week earlier. We might have been able to grab him for that Socceroos job.
I still find it strange. Is he the only manager I can think of off the top of my head who has actually left his club when they were currently second in the league table?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so it's
because they always do well in the alphabetical league.
They
Villa.
Do. Yeah,
if it weren't for Arsenal, they'd be a lot of
silver at the top. Yes.
Yeah, he's walked out apparently over transfers disagreements with his owner, Randy Lerner. He's disappointed that it looks as though James Milner is going to be sold, and so is Ashley Young, by the sounds of it, to Tottenham.
Yes,
James Milner to Manchester City,
obviously.
And apparently, he's being told he really won't get a lot of that cash back to spend. Having said that, I would sell James Milner because apparently he's going for £30 million, yeah, and just, he's not a £30 million player. No.
Yeah, it's
certainly didn't look it this morning, Franklin.
Yeah, no, true. I kind of have a bit of sympathy for West Ham's owners. I mean, Aston Villa's owners. Yeah, yep. They've put a lot of money, obviously their own revenue, into the club the last few seasons for that Champions League push. It hasn't happened, so now they just have to consolidate.
Yes, really. That's right. Yeah. There you go. 6-6-6 is their last three seasons. They've done well. It's just a shame that Spurs and City have put up a fight to get above them there.
They did have that one chance to nab fourth, was it two seasons ago? And the last five games, they just went, oh,
they went without a win for about sort of nine games straight for a really long time.
Yeah, which is... if they had just won two of those games, they probably would have made it in. It was a bit...
Yeah, so in other news, Mark Schwarzer is still at Fulham.
Yeah,
despite Arsenal wanting him and him wanting to go to Arsenal.
The numpty Hughes won't let him go.
Yeah, well, you can't blame him because at this stage of the season, unless you have a ready-made replacement, you've just got to basically hold on to what you have.
This is true, but the Arsenal saga with Swartz has been going on for a while, and the deal was actually agreed to before Hughes left.
Oh, okay.
And Hughes came in and just trod all over it. It was, I don't know. It's a shame. I can understand where Hughes is coming from.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, Swartz was packed to leave.
Yeah.
And he just came in and just said, no, you're not going. And, like, for Swartz, personally, what a blow. I mean, he's in his prime. Like, he's twilight almost. Like, you know, he won't get another chance. When his contract expires, he won't get another chance to join a team like Arsenal.
That's right, yeah.
Because, like, okay, at the moment, it's really good for him. Arsenal don't have a solid top-class keeper yet. No. But when Swartz's current contract does expire, Arsenal will, of course, will have bought one, so he won't be able to go anywhere.
Yeah, it's disappointing for poor Schwartz.
This is one chance to play for a top club, and unfortunately, it's not going to happen for him.
Yeah, there's still a few weeks to go before the window shuts, so he could still go if Arsenal wants him bad enough. In other Australian goalkeeper news, Brad Jones was left out of the Carling Cup match for Middlesbrough at Chesterfield the other night, so he's not cup tied. Which tells you that there's a very good chance that he will sign for Liverpool very shortly and play in the Carling Cup for them and sit on the bench for the rest of the season.
Not every day you get a chance to play for Liverpool.
I would go there if I was him. I think it will develop him as a player.
Yeah, I think Roy Hodgson seems to like the Australian keepers.
He does, yeah. He seems to enjoy them. They're obviously hard working, honest players. Scott McDonald, we talked about earlier, he wore the captain's armband for that game at Chesterfield too. So well done to Scott. And we also mentioned 2-2 for his goal scoring. That's so right. Well done. We will get on to some correspondence from our listeners, etc., who have contacted the show and want to talk to us. We'll give a shout out to Central Coast Mariners Yellow Army.
Yeah, their fan group.
Yeah, their fan group. They put it out there that to check us out and said, I think they said we had a great show or something, didn't they?
Yeah, no, they said our podcast are great, our articles are great, and they also said they're not getting paid to say this. So Central Coast, your check's in the mail.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we also asked on the site. We had a poll about what our highlight for the round has been
for the round one of the A League.
So what our options were: Perth Glory sell out at home.
Yes.
We had 2-3 all draws was one of them.
That's it. The Kevin Muscat fail.
Kevin Muscat failing, and the Mariners being top of the table. I don't know why that'd be a highlight for anyone but Mariners fans, really. And other, we had an option for other, which no one took up. So our result on that was Kevin Muscat failing is basically that's leading just ahead of Perth Glory sellout, which we talked about last week, which was great.
Cool. So do we have some individual replies? Or?
We do. We've got apologies again for any pronunciation issues, but Michael or Michelle Ruchek from Betty Bay in Sydney, he said the Perth sellout was his favourite. We've got David Hards from Melbourne wrote in and he said Hart debut was a highlight for him. 4 out of 5 draws. I think season 6 could be the best yet.
Yeah, no.
Which is
a good shout
as well. We've got Chris who's tweeted in and said Musket McPhail every day of the week. And then in brackets, Mr. Philosophy of Penalty Step Up. He nev clank hit the post, which I think is very funny. So,
I do like it.
Well done to you, Chris. We've got Paul Gallagher from Perth wrote in and said it was good to see 16,019 people at Perth Glory. It was just like the good old days, which it was.
Yeah, it was. Nothing better than a pack shed, like you said on Monday.
Yeah, it's just a fantastic sight, and just a great sight in Australian football to see the net bulge and see the shed go nuts. All they need to do now is get rid of these yellow goal nets, which I'm not a fan of. I don't mind the whole generic nets, let's all have the same nets. That's fine, and it gets done at World Cups and European Championships. But yellow nets for me is, there's something not quite right about it. Goal nets should be white.
Man City had this discussion. I was watching it the other day.
They've got dark blue and you can barely see them, don't they? Or black.
No, they've gone. Oh, they had black. Yes. And they're tossing up between going the black or yellow. Because one of them has, you can see with TV cameras, you can see the sponsorship better. It's not really their choice. That's what they're getting at.
You can't really see black goal nets at all if you're sort of more than 20 metres away. Just kind of, you see through them. It's like a fly screen, essentially.
Yes.
Which is okay, but when a goal's scored, you don't really know that it's gone in. When the goal nets are nice and white, you know, there's something exciting. It's aesthetic, I guess, when the ball hits the net and it shakes and it's almost like a little explosion. So
I'd rather
see white nets than yellow nets. If you have an opinion on goal nets, and you obviously have nothing better to do with your time, email the show, info@thefootballsack.com, or Twitter us @thefootballsack, or Facebook group us.
You can simply search for the Football Sack in your Facebook search bar, or go to our website, www.thefootballsack.com, and go to the Contact Us tab, and all the information you need is right there.
Yeah, that's how to do it. We should probably start to wrap up the show. We should thank our sponsor, of course, Betfair, good supporters of us. That competition is still running.
Promo, simply sign up to Betfair, $30 in the account, and there's a $50 free bet on any sport or any sort of racing that you want. So you can't get much better than that.
That's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome. Go to our site. Our ad is now on the left. Click on it and get betting, because you can't lose for the first $50.
That's right. Brilliant. We will be back on Monday to wrap up A-League and English Premier League.
Sounds good.
Which is great. We can't wait. Hopefully plenty of goals to talk about, plenty of big crowds to talk about. I've been Jack Quigley, as I always am. I might come in and just try a different persona next week, just to mix it up.
Okay, so Christian Whalen will come in and go, who are you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, I'll still look the same.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That was
a different
Whalen
name tag then.
Yeah, because we wear name tags.
Yeah, man.
With our purple shirts. thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.